Connect and experience art at the Northfield Arts Guild. Visit our galleries, arts festival, and take in a performance at our theater featuring a full season of dramas, comedies, and musicals. The Guild's gift shop showcases unique art from over 100 local and regional member artists. Come enjoy music from the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra or the 411 Concert Series. We invite you to explore your creativity in one of our classes. All are welcome at the Northfield Arts Guild. To learn how you can be a part, visit northfieldartsguild.org. Or call 507-645-8877.
Art Zany, radio for the imagination, with your host Paula Granquist, is brought to you by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts. And now, Art Zany, radio for the imagination.
Good morning. This is Paula Granquist, and you're tuned in to Art Zany, radio for the imagination. Thanks so much for being here and listening. We have a big show, so we're going to jump right in, and we're going to go to the art fair. Today, we're going to feature Dave Mahacek, an artist from the Sogn Valley Art Fair. Check out Sogn, S-O-G-N, valleyartfair.com for all the details. It's this weekend, Saturday, October 1st, from 10 to 5, and Sunday, October 2nd, from 10 to 4, and it's going to be in Cannon Falls at Art.org, which is located at 214 4th Street North in Cannon Falls. It's the 50th year of the Sogn Valley Art Fair. There's going to be artists, food, market vendors, and everybody's ready to celebrate. So you can go ahead and enjoy this great festival. We're going to open up with Dave Mahacek, who is the founder of Art.org, which is Art.org.com if you want more details about that organization. Art.org is in Cannon Falls and the host site for this year's Sogn Valley Art Fair. And I want to thank Dave for helping me coordinate our artist interviews for Art Zany Radio. In this segment, he highlights some of the great things happening at this year's Sogn Valley Art Fair. Thank you, Dave, for coming in to talk about the 50th year of the Sogn Valley Art Fair.
It's a long time.
It is. We were trying to calculate, you know, the dates and for a fair to be going on that long. That you mentioned it might be one of the few.
I think it's one of the oldest ones around, and actually we're not, it started a couple of years, even like 52 years ago, but a couple of years they didn't hold it, so didn't count those years. So yeah, it is really it's a big round number.
It is. So it's, I'm congratulating you, and it's now at the space at the Art.org, which you mentioned there's been some remodeling, and so the...
Right. We're very lucky to get some donors to help us renovate the building, and we're pretty close to, you know, we've made a lot of progress. So a big difference than years past, most of the stuff was outside. There were four vendors maybe in the back of the building, but this year we're up to maybe a dozen vendors inside. So make sure when you think Sogn Valley Art Fair, you think inside or outside and inside, because there's going to be a lot of cool stuff. We've got some nice demos. Hans Koch, who you'll be talking to, is going to do a letterpress demonstration, and we've got Ryan Seitz doing some silkscreen demonstrations. He's the creative part of Cloud Cult, all their merchandise, mm-hmm. and their posters and everything, so that should be pretty cool. And then, of course, Scott West has been with us since we've had the fair for 4 or 5 years now, and he's one of the stage painters in Cloud Cult, so he'll be outside. The others will be inside, but it'll be really a lot of fun. And of course, then you also, it's a big fair, so everybody's at one spot, and you can also make use of all the downtown Cannon Falls stuff.
Yeah, and in addition to the artists, we'll be talking with a few of them today, but there's so many more, you know, ones that are coming back, a few new ones, but there's more than just art there, too. So tell us a little bit about music and food. And
yeah, we have music. We have four musicians lined up. Helen Forsyth, of course, and she does everything in the area, and a couple others. It'll be really a lot of fun. Where we're situated, I was going to say we've got the Tillian Brewery right next to us, Mill Street Tavern, Cannon Bell's Coffee. They're on our block, and then one block, you know, just a little bit away, I think you could still throw a snowball and hit them. But we've got the Cannon River Winery is there, and Dudley's Pizza, and Nick's Bistro, and there's really a lot of stuff down there. It's all in one spot. So park once, find a spot, and then just relax and have a fun fun day.
You can definitely spend the whole day, and it's both days, so right. You could come twice.
Right, exactly.
It's twice as nice, and there'll be something for everyone, and it's a, I like the you know, it's all in one area, so it's an easy to walk around.
And it's weird because there's a trout stream going right past us, this little Cannon River, which we say kind of defines the Sogan Valley, because if you go south down upstream, this little Cannon River, you actually go through the little town of Sogan, and more what people think of traditionally as a Sogan Valley. But, you know, we're still on the river, so we still think we're in Sogan Valley. But there's a spring-fed swan pond there that you can buy food and feed the swans and stuff, and it's pretty nice.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that in the description. In a swan pond. I hadn't like that's a really interesting thing. That's fun for the kids.
Yeah, I have a new dog, and when I'm working there, I need to walk the dog, so I walk it past the swan pond, and they're trumpeter swans, I think, because they sound like trumpets. It's weird.
Wow,
it's a lot of fun.
Yeah,
nice spot.
And amazing, great artists, great food. Did we mention the food that's going to be at?
Yep, food trucks. We've got Rancho Locos, a local Mexican restaurant, and Northern Roots is coming. And then Gwen Anderson is coming with her thing. And she helped us out. We had a little event for fairgoers early in the summer, and she catered that too. So she's coming back for the actual fair too.
She's very talented, a great
Absolutely.
Chef. And this is oftentimes where we get our pumpkins for
yes.
The fall is from this festival. I can remember hauling a few up that hill in a wagon.
Yeah, Josephson's brings their huge hay rack filled with pumpkins.
So. Mm-hmm. It's a great time.
And so we actually offer booths, half-price booths to more farmers market vendors, honeys and pickles and pumpkins and stuff like that.
So that's an extraordinary time. It's the perfect thing to do for a fall afternoon. So thank you very much
thank
for
you.
Bringing all of these stories and for helping to, you know, keep the Sogan Valley Art Fair going for maybe another 50 years.
Yes, and thanks for this wonderful program.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Folks, that was Dave Mahacek, and now we're going to talk with artist Adam Reinwald. He's a St. Olaf graduate and leader of the premier choral ensemble, Cantore, and the Twin City Beer Choir. With the TC Beer Choir at Tillion Brewing in Cannon Falls, he helped create the Sogan Valley Art Fair jingle in the radio ad you heard a little bit earlier. You can check out beerchoir.com or cantore.net, with that's with a K. Here he is on Art Zany Radio. And welcome to the show, Adam. It's so exciting to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself. I know we're going to talk about that great song that we just heard that you helped with, but tell us a little more about yourself and then the Twin Cities Beer Choir.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. I am a choir director in the Twin Cities here. I've been singing professionally for a very long time and conduct a choir in town called Cantorai. We are a community chamber ensemble, and on top of that, I run an organization called Beer Choir, which is exactly what you think it is. We travel into different beer pouring restaurants and venues and encourage people to sing along with us for a couple hours every time. We've got a hymnal, our songbook for the evening, that kind of leads us through there, and that's how we do our events. And we were very excited to do an event on behalf of the Sogan Valley Art Fair down at Tillion Brewing in Red Wing this summer. It was a great time. We had a wonderful time. Not Red Wing, I'm sorry. We had a great time down in Cannon Falls and had a fantastic time.
Yeah, and that's what I heard about, and I've heard that great ditty that you did. And, I mean, is this the first that you've recorded something that's become a commercial?
Yes, it's a song that is part of our beer choir hymnal. It's called The Rattlin' Bog, and our friend Dave Mahacek heard it on a YouTube clip that was kind of part of an Irish wedding song. It's an additive song, so you add more and more things to it, and he was geniusly put together some words that really fit the Sogan Valley Art Fair, and so it was very fun to sing in front of the audience and then invite them to sing in the refrain with everybody.
So tell us, Dave, how did this idea come up to make this a part of what is the 50th year? So it's a big, big celebration.
Well, I come up with a lot of ideas, and Kari Ahlberg, my partner, is a real, she hears a lot of them. And I suppose one in 50 actually happens. But yeah, to change the lyrics of songs is fun. And this one barely had to change anything, and it fit so nicely together and reflected the amount of things that are at the fair. You know, Tillian Brewing, where we recorded it, is right next door to us and kind of a sponsor of the fair. And yeah, it was just a lot of fun. Yeah.
It sounds like it. You can tell now. So people are invited to join at these events that you have. And I've got the website. Is it beerchoir.com?
Yep, that's it.
And so if people would get that idea and think, that probably sounds like a lot of fun. There's no training required, or you don't have to have any credentials you show to join in for singing along?
Exactly. We just ask that you participate as kind of heartily as you feel like you'd like to, and you don't have to be a trained singer. We teach you all the music. The only requirement is you come and enjoy singing with people you don't know, and occasionally hoisting a beer to your mouth and enjoying that sip. So really, it's about community building through music and in places that serve wonderful beer.
But sounds like a good combination. And what do you think that singing together does for us? I mean, you mentioned that you do a choir, you know, you're a choir director, but you also do, this is another version of it, but there's something that we get from it. What, in your experience, what is that?
Well, there's even scientific evidence that says that when people sing together, they start to breathe together, and even heartbeats start to align. So for me, it's just a very natural thing to see people who may not even know each other enjoying song together, and that radiates into a smile, especially when you get a chance to also hoist a beer while doing so. It it brings us closer together when we don't even realize that's what's happening. So it's just a great thing to see people doing together. Down at Tillian this summer, we saw people coming from the Northern Twin Cities Metro and some local folks in Cannon Falls at the same time. And they had no idea, but for 2.5 hours, they were singing as though they were best friends. And it was just a wonderful thing to see. It's our favorite thing to see, and we're very happy also to support the Silicon Valley Art Festival.
Yeah, it sounds like a great way to support all these wonderful breweries in our community. Now, I have to ask the question about the beer element. Does that make people better singers?
Well, it definitely makes them think that they're better singers, which is really part of the equation there. But you don't have to be a beer drinker. We do have folks who will occasionally sidle up on an outdoor event with a maybe even a little bit of wine that they brought, and we even have root beer choir for the kiddos. So you don't have to be a beer drinker. We just think that it adds a little bit of fun.
Yeah, it definitely does. And Dave, Tillian in the past has had some special offerings. I don't know if there's going to be anything this year for the Sogan Valley Art Fair.
Yeah, in years past, they've issued a special beer called the Old Sogan, you know, old with a E, Oldie Sogan. So this year, I think they still have a little bit from last year, and I think they've got something new in store too. They always have a rotating list of different things that they're doing, and it's a real nice place to enjoy a beer. For sure.
And Adam, do you have any connections to the Sogan Valley, or any opportunities maybe for the choir to start doing art tours and joining like roving festivals or anything?
Well, we certainly would love to. We have done art festivals and art fairs in the past, but no special connection, just a really wonderful chance to meet and get a chance to talk to Dave and the folks at the Silicon Valley Art Fair. We're just wonderful to have us down, and we feel very special to be included in the radio ad. It felt really great to be there. We wish them, of course, the best of success.
Absolutely. Let's think about the recording and how that all comes together when you aren't sure how many people are going to be there, what voices are going to be there, and putting this package together. What were some of the ways that you made that happen?
Well, I'll tell you, this radio ad really speaks to the genius of editing. Because as we actually did the event down at Tillian, I, as the song leader, actually incredibly messed up the words that Dave put together for this song. And so had to actually re-record them by myself at home. And we were able to get a great sound from the 60 or so singers who were in the building on the refrains, on the choruses. And then the geniuses that Dave works with for the radio ad put together my home re-record and mixed it with the folks in the actual venue. So it really worked out nicely, and I appreciate them for picking me up where I had a bit of a fall down.
Yeah, and Dave, maybe we should talk a little bit about a couple of the words in the song and what you added to the original, which I understand was the rattling bog. Did I say that right? Rattling bog.
Well, the thing that was so nice is, you know, down in Sogan Valley, oh, you know, that was just is perfect match to the refrain of the song. And then I think the original song, doesn't it, Adam, go... It deals with some bug on a log and a shoe on the bug and the all that stuff. And it
Exactly right. It kind of zooms out from a little speck on a tree, and all of a sudden it goes right out until you finally see the entire tree in the rattling bog.
Yeah, there you go. So in this case, we didn't have enough time to do the whole song, so we just lined up a whole bunch of things that'll be, you know, a ring and a pot and a pot and a plate and a plate and a book and a book and a print, you know, and we should just lined up a bunch of things that are actually going to be offered at the fair. So
I think that what a great memory for all those people who were there, something really original to promote the fair. The song lives on afterwards, and it's really clever. It's wonderful. And I think it's delightful that you made the connection with the Twin City Beer Choir. Again, their website is beerchoir.com. We should also connect people, Adam, to the choir that you conduct. Tell us a little bit about how they can learn about where they'll be performing.
Oh, sure. I appreciate that. The nice thing about Beer Choir is the choir is whoever is in the audience, whoever is attending there. It's just myself as a song leader, typically another song leader and a pianist. So it's a chance for anybody who wants to be a part of that choir. The choir that I conduct is called Contrary with a K, and you can find out more at contrary.net. We are an auditioned volunteer chamber chorus, and we have concerts coming up at the end of October. Fabulous program about healing and restoration called Will We Remember. So I'm happy to share that link out to folks. Again, that's contrary.net.
And could you spell that for us to make sure people get that right?
Sure. KANTOREI.net.
I'm glad I had you spell that, because that was not what I put in my notes. So it's really wonderful. I think it sounds like you have a delightful life singing your way through all kinds of events and happenings. And it's a pleasure that you were able to help the Sogan Valley Art Fair celebrate their 50th year. So thank you. It's wonderful to meet you.
Entirely my pleasure, and best of luck to Dave and everybody there.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Adam.
And folks, next we're going to keep going on the tour with Hans Koch. He's going to have live printing letterpress experience at the Sogan Valley Art Fair. He's done a lot of work with the Minnesota Center for Book Arts and the Minnesota Newspaper Museum. And so excited to have you here, Hans. It's wonderful to learn a little bit more about your work with the letterpress printing at the Sogan Valley Art Fair. First, tell us a little bit about yourself and your history with printing and the work that you've done.
Oh, sure. Let's see. I guess I came to letterpress printing through the visual arts. I went to school for photography and filmmaking. And I did a couple of different careers that were related, and I came across letterpress printing at an old letterpress print shop in New York City in the South Street Seaport called Brown and Co. Stationers. And I was pretty fascinated. I hadn't seen that equipment before. That was a long time ago, and I did take a class then, but then I was involved with other things and continued to do letterpress off and on for a little while until I came to Minneapolis, where I now live, and encountered the Minnesota Center for Book Arts. And, of course, they are wonderfully set up for letterpress printing, among other book arts, and took a bunch of classes from them and have been doing letterpress for my own as a hobby since then.
Yeah, and for people that maybe aren't familiar with what, there's lots of different types of printing presses. Tell us a little bit about what the letterpress print is.
Sure. Letterpress was the method of printing that was used from the inception of and the invention of printing by Gutenberg in the 1400s in the Western world until about the late 1970s when everybody switched over to what's called offset printing. So letterpress printing is basically a relief style of printing where the letters are cast out of metal or carved out of wood, and they're inked because they're a raised surface, and then the paper goes against them and gets printed. And that changed in about the late 70s, early 80s, when everybody switched over to a method that was a little bit faster, and it was the method was to transfer a flat surface of printing to the paper rather than a raised surface. And we've been using offset ever since, but letterpress has become a little more popular. The crispness and the slight impression into the paper that the letters make has become interesting to people, and they note it's a little bit more noticeable as something that seems, kind of prestige. I think it was Martha Stewart who had an episode of her program once where she talked about letterpress printing for wedding invitations.
Mm-hmm.
And just about every wedding invitation now is done with letterpress. And that definitely, although there were letterpress printers who are already doing it as a hobby or as a way to produce handmade books, folks called fine press printers, the idea of doing commercial printing again with letterpress took off when brides were starting to request letterpress invitations for their weddings.
So it has its own certain look that people are attracted to, and sounds fascinating. Now, tell us how you're going to do this live at the Sogan Valley Art Fair, and what kind of, what are people going to be able to do when they visit the space that you're in?
Well, they're going to be able to see three printing presses that are all letterpress-style printing presses. There's one called the Cylinder Proof Press. I just finished fixing that up a little bit yesterday. And that is a press that used to be used to create proofs, but now it's the style of printing press that many, many letterpress printers are using. There's an iron hand press, which was the iron version of the printing press that Gutenberg invented and was used from around the early 1800s through to the end of the 19th century. And then there's also a show card press, and that's a press that's just very manual, uses letters that are attached to little rods on a flatbed and held in place with magnets, and hand-inked with a brayer, and then there's a little hand roller that goes across that when you put the paper down, and it makes an impression. It was used for point-of-sale and placards, and for posters for events, thus the name Show Card Press.
Oh, that's going to be fascinating.
Those are the three press we'll be using.
A Northfield trivia piece is that the show card company was offered to the Northfield Foundry as a turnkey business at one time, and they turned it down.
Oh my gosh.
So, years ago.
That's probably something they maybe should have done.
Maybe in hindsight, yeah.
Yeah. So, Dave, where's this going to be set up at the Sogan Valley Art Fair?
Well, it's a big change for us because a lot of our building has been renovated, and we're going to have quite a few activities inside. So when you come to the fair, it's not going to just be outside stuff, although there's a lot of outside stuff, but there's going to be a lot of cool things inside, probably over a dozen artists and There's another person doing a demonstration of silkscreen printing, too. And so it'll be fun, but make sure to go inside.
Absolutely. Yeah. And what will people be able to, are you creating, pieces that people can take with them or something that's going to become a part of a bigger piece during the weekend? Hans?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that was for Dave. Would you repeat the question, please?
Sure. Were people going to be able to take something away with them, or are you creating pieces that will become part of a bigger piece, or is it just to show how the press works so you'll be demonstrating and people can kind of learn more about how printers work and the letterpress specifically works?
I'll be creating things that people can take with them, so it'll be about how the press works, and I'll be using the three presses, but in the process, I'll create something that folks can take.
Oh, that'll be kind of fun. I think you mentioned that you got, when you first saw one, you just really, it just lit up something in you. And have you had any experiences like that where people have, gotten really excited? I've heard that happens to people that start printing, especially at places like the Minnesota Center for the Book Arts. They just get going and they don't want to stop.
Yes, absolutely. I've had those experiences. A lot of them have come at the Minnesota Newspaper Museum, where I demonstrate with a bunch of other people at the Minnesota State Fair during the fair, where we have a space that is set up with all the equipment that you would find in a rural newspaper in the 1930s and 40s. And we actually produce a newspaper and print it and then hand out the newspapers hot off the press. It's a one-sheet, four-page newspaper, and the volunteers, or among the volunteers, are former newspaper folks who are both the printers and journalists. Excuse me, and they write articles for the newspaper and they produce it. Mm. And when we demonstrate that equipment, like some of the things that are used to create the type, or to set the type, or to print it. The look on people's faces is just a total astonishment, and I love showing it to people, especially like young adults who have not had any exposure to printing before before the offset style of printing, and in some cases before computers. Their world is totally about things that were printed on with computers. Whether in a commercial environment or at their home with their laptop and their computer printer. It's especially interesting when we set type and then we make a little proof on a proof press that's very similar to the show card press. We hand ink it. They can see the metal, but they don't see what it says. And then we lay a strip of paper down and run the little press over it, the little roller that is run across it by hand and puts a little bit of pressure on the paper so that it contacts the ink. And we lift that up, and there's all the letters, there's all the words, there's exactly what was said. And they're just wowed.
Yeah, I can imagine, because it's something that, there's just not a context for a lot of people, because they just, it comes out of the laser printer, or, even way back the sort of the paper with the dots on it, right? And
exactly.
So to have that form and become right before your eyes, this great image is very exciting.
I'm looking forward to folks coming to the Silicon Valley Art Fair and being able to see that very thing. And I'm looking forward to seeing that look of astonishment on their eyes.
I expect there'll be lots of that. Hans, it's been a thrill to be able to visit with you, and I hope folks, like you said, Dave, will go inside to see what's happening at the ArtOrg building at the Sogan Valley Art Fair, where some of these things are taking place. So thank
Great.
You. I can't wait to learn more from you. Thank you.
Thanks, Hans.
My pleasure. You bet.
Folks, our next guest is Jan Davies. She's a former art teacher, antique bead jewelry artist, and is reconnecting to painting. She'll be at the Sogan Valley Art Fair with her husband, ceramic sculpture artist Mike Norman. Mentioned in the interview is his apprentice, Olivia Jensen, whose role and name I goofed up, so I apologize, Olivia, but I corrected myself in the middle of the interview. You can visit their websites to preview their wonderful work, MikeNormanPottery.com, OliviaJensen.com, and visit the Sogan Valley Art Fair.com to see Jan Davies' beads. Hello and welcome to the show. It's such a pleasure to have you, Jan. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your art world.
Well, a long, long time ago, I did do the fair when it was sort of in the dark forest near Rochester.
Oh.
And I'd always sort of piggybacked on with my husband, Mike Norman, who's sort of a famous potter, and I'm only a famous teacher. So, you know, it's been fun to get back in the swing. And I also this summer had a wonderful open studio camp for four of my favorite sixth graders who could now drive. And so they encouraged me to get back to painting and would say things like, "It's okay," which is like a D in college or something. But they really encouraged me to keep going. And I've been stringing beads all along. I collect antique beads from India, Africa, Afghanistan. And I just love the stories they can tell. A 100-year-old bead is different than, you know, a pop bead or something. But, and then when Mike, Dave wanted Mike very much to do the fair and called and said the gallery's ready and you guys could be inside. And riding on Mike's coattails, Olivia Jensen, who's Mike's wonderful 26-year-old apprentice, we call them 8226, I said, "Could Olivia and I do it too?" And Kari likes my jewelry, so they said yes. So I've been stringing beads and painting something. So it'll be a lot of fun. This is the first show I've done in 13 years. The last two I did was the old St. Kate's show at St. Catharines and then the American Craft Expo. So, and then things changed and I got a family and went to grad school. So there it goes.
Well, that is...
That's how I got to where I am.
Yeah, well, what an exciting time of life. You mentioned that you'd been a teacher for, did you say 42 years? How is that possible?
I know. I'm 71, so I started right out of college, and I've taught every grade level art from preschool to graduate school, and ended up, I taught at Breck, and then I taught at the Eden Prairie School System, and... I thought I could be a studio artist, but it was way too lonely. And I just decided that I would just give it my best. And so I've always practiced my craft because I kind of have a belief that if you're going to teach art, you need to be able to share the process with kids and other people. But now I've come back to a little bit of teaching with just, well, when kids call me and say they would like to do something, I do it. But now... I think I'm ready to completely support Mike while being able to do some of my own artwork and writing again.
Well, that is an exciting time. And so you said, will you be bringing some of those paintings that you've been working on, or will we mostly see some of your
beautiful... I'm going to bring them and leave my ego at the door. I'm just going to bring them.
How fun. You mentioned that you're mostly known for your strung beads, and I'm curious about how you track down these antique beads. Where do people go if they're, you know, curious about finding something like that?
You have bead traders, and so there are these really interesting, strange bead shows. There's a huge one in Arizona.
I have heard about that one.
They're all over. Yeah, oh my gosh, I can't go there. I'd have to sell a car.
Danger, danger.
Danger, danger. But anyway, I just have always, I don't know, I have friends who say I was either, my former husband is a Tibetan Buddhist monk, and he said, "I think you must have been like a nun or something that wore Tibetan beads," because I love beads from Tibet, and I love them from Africa. But so I've met through the years, like four traders that I actually buy from. One sells silver from the hill tribes of Thailand, and it is more pure than sterling silver and more expensive. And then I have another friend now, Ahmed and Warduk, and he's Afghani, and I love his beads because he always brings 100-year-old or 1,000-year-old broken pieces that are very primitive. But at this time in Afghanistan, due to hard times, they're burning all of that ancient and melting all of that ancient silver. So it makes every piece I make, I think, a little more special. I love African trade beads. And I don't know, I just, and the pieces, the gems that I buy from Ahmed are the high, just really beautiful quality. Right now, anything coming out of China is just really, they're incredible artisans, and it's not real anymore. And Tibetan turquoise no longer exists. So sometimes people think, I love this. Could you make it cheaper? I say, well, you could go to Pico's, and they might have a little something, or, you know, find something, I don't know where. But, yeah, there are other people who don't choose to go down that route that make wonderful things.
Well, it sounds beautiful. I bet people are excited to see what you have. And you mentioned you did the Sogan Valley Art Fair back a long time ago then. And, Dave, was that part of the reason you brought Mike and Jan back to celebrate the 50 years?
Oh, yeah, sure. We went through all the old lists and things, and we were presented. Somebody walked into the fair and gave us this scrapbook from the 25th year, and that was, and you can see that a lot on our Instagram account, the Sogan Valley Art Fair account. And yeah, it was just fascinating to see everybody there. And there's actually quite a few, more than you would expect, people that were at the 25 year will be still at the 50 year. So it's kind of interesting, yeah.
That says something. And we've talked about your work, Jan, but you're also going to be in the booth, you mentioned, with your husband, Mike Norman, and his assistant, Olivia Benson. Tell us
have to say the word apprentice.
Apprentice.
He's really an apprentice.
I apologize. Yeah. That is not the... that was my mistake. Yes.
Okay. No. we'll be down in the beautiful new gallery space, and we're encouraging everyone, even though it's going to be beautiful weather, to come down and see us. And we are seeing some of our old friends. Olivia is doing some of the shows we're doing now, and we've gotten her a gig with St. John's University and encourage her to do everything. But she and Mike work in the studio every day together. And she'll be bringing pretty much, I would say, production, but a little with a twist, because she's really willing to experiment now. So she may bring a coil pot, she may not, but she has some very functional work that people will really enjoy. And Mike will have, I think, maybe 6 horse sculptures, Ooh. Which he did in his life's retrospective in 2021. And at the Northern Clay Center, it was a time where nobody really was coming out or seeing things. So we're really excited because I think Dave and Kari have done the most incredible job putting together a group of fine artists, functional artists. Some of them are dear, dear friends from over the years.
It sounds beautiful. And you can get information about apprentice Olivia Benson at Olivia
Jensen.
I had I'm going to have to go apologize to Olivia. OliviaJensen.com.
Yes, you can.
Or MikeNormanPottery.com is where you can connect with either Mike or possibly Jan, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and
if you email him from the card, I'm the one that answers everything, and, you know. If you see our numbers, I would say call the 612-202-7694. And I promise it won't be so hard to get to me next time.
Oh, no worries. The things happen all the time. And so we had just, it's a delight. I would imagine, I was thinking about this, if for someone who spent those years teaching and now you've spent a few years not teaching, that the lessons you taught those students, how has it been something that you've carried through? Are you missing the students? Tell me about that shift.
Oh, yeah. I would not have retired if I hadn't had a huge rotator cuff injury, and your body just literally wears out from lifting all that stuff all the years. And I could have taught forever. And if that were even possible, but I just felt it was a good time to end. I gave it my all, and I'm still in contact with many friends and families, and it is very difficult. I have to continue to find ways. I told them lots of stories through the last 20 years about a best friend, so I'm writing a memoir, and now they know all the stories that I told them about Carrie and myself when we were their age. And so periodically I get an email or a text from someone in college who says, for God's sake, write the book. Don't you want to make like $40,000? I'm like, yes, I do. So the connections I made are the most important thing. And something hard for artists is lots of times we work alone in the studio. And so it's wonderful at a fair or any sort of gathering of artists that isn't just alone in the studio. It continues that relationship thing, and that's what teaching was all about.
You were a beautiful teacher, and you're gonna keep spreading your wings and doing amazing things, I suspect.
Well, thank you. I will take that advice.
It's been a pleasure to get to know you, and folks should definitely come to the Sogan Valley Art Fair. You mentioned that you're in the gallery space, Jan Davies.
Yes.
And I'm guessing all of those beads that you have a story, and that if folks want to ask about that would be something fabulous.
Well, thank you. I will try to carry the message.
I appreciate it. Folks, we're going to keep talking on Art Zany Radio, and we'll be right back. And we're touring next with James Linfesti. He's an editor, writer, and poet. He's one of my favorite authors. His book, If Bees Are Few, A Hive of Bee Poems, is extraordinary. His sixth poetry collection, A Marriage Book, 50 Years of Poems from a Marriage, was a finalist for two 2017 Midwest Book Awards. In 2020, he received the Kay Sexton Award for significant contributions to the Minnesota literary community. He now serves on the board of directors of Red Dragonfly Press, and he's going to help continue the extraordinary work of the Northfield poet and entomologist Scott King. At the Sogan Valley Art Fair, he will present work from Red Dragonfly Press. His website is coyotepoet.com, and I believe it's reddragonflypress.com as well. Welcome to Art Zany Radio. It's such a thrill to have you here today. You have done so many amazing things with poetry and writing and communication. It's just, I'm a big fan. We talked, I think, the last time about your fabulous book, which is one of my absolute favorites, If Bees Are Few, A Hive of Bee Poems.
I
treasure that book. It's
a freaking wonderful book. People still ask for it from all over the world, all the bee maniacs, but just all the poetry people who see the connection between the sweetness of both.
Exactly.
Thank you for remembering that.
Oh,
yeah.
I do, absolutely. And so you have a really special role at the Sogan Valley Art Fair that is kind of an unusual addition to the fair, and I'm really excited to tell our folks about your connection to Red Dragonfly Press.
My personal collection to Scott King and Red Dragonfly Press, I could go on for hours. He changed my life.
Mm-hmm.
With his publication of my some of my early books, and he taught me how to set type when he was printer in residence at the Anderson Center, and he makes such beautiful books and taught me in many ways the beauty of letterpress printing. And before that, you may or may not know, but I was heavily involved in the Minnesota Center for Book Arts in Minneapolis. I chaired the board for many years and helped bring about Open Book up here in the cities. But the truth is, the hands-on, do it down, do the work, I learned from Scott.
But then, of course, I learned that he was a very quiet, absolute genius, as I hope everybody who ever knew him knew. In addition to his stunning work in poetry and letterpress printing, he was one of the great entomologists we will ever know in our region, a world expert really on dragonflies, flowerflies, wasps, and bees. And his book, this is a pitch for a book that everybody should own in our region or maybe everywhere, which you get online now, is called Following the Earth Around, in which he sent a citizen science report in every day for a year and published it under his own imprint, Thistlewoods Press, and you can read it every day for the rest of your life because it goes around and around, and he noticed things that the rest of us never came close to seeing or knowing or understanding about the insect world all around us. Mm. So that's a pitch. And then, as you know, the calamity occurred 2 years ago in April when Scott dropped dead of a heart attack. It was just heartbreaking. And he left behind many, many, many projects in various states of, process. And I give you good news. It took a while, with his wonderful wife, Lisa, from Northfield, and some of his very close friends, and I volunteered to join the board, and I've had friends of mine who volunteered to help bind up books that were unbound letterpress books. And we've got a wonderful selection of Red Dragonfly books, both books and broadsides, that we'll be bringing to the Shogun Valley Art Fair. And we won't price them, it's $5, $10, $20 for these extraordinary works that Scott did. We have Joyce Sutphen, mm-hmm. just poet laureate, Louise Erdrich, four different pieces, maybe five of Louise Erdrich's, who, I predict, you heard it here first, will win the Nobel Prize. Mm-hmm. She's won every other prize. Albert Goldbarth, Dorian Locks, on and on and on. And, of course, works by Scott, a couple by me, including a book that I'd listed on my website for years and sold out, only to find that Scott had, there were many unbound copies. So we bound them up, and they'll be there. The first book that Scott ever did for me, and called Affection for Spiders.
Hmm.
And I'll tell you, who knew that anybody cared about spiders? But that was my introduction to Scott. My poet friend Thomas R. Smith said, this guy might like those poems. I know a guy in Northfield that might like those poems. I said, what? Spider poems? Well, it turns out he loved them and made a beautiful little book out of them.
I can't wait to see that.
It has a wonderful woodcut on the cover of a jumping spider. And, if you look close, they all look like little Chinese philosophers. I'll be proud to exhibit these books of Scott's at the art fair. I'm a happy time to be there. I hope there's coffee there because I'm going to be there all day, both days.
Lots of coffee. No problem.
I think Dave will get you covered on that. And
all right. You can cover me with a cuppa.
Yeah. Okay. Right. I think, the fact that you mentioned, Scott's beautiful, not only is he a beautiful poet himself and a mm-hmm. Someone who supported the poets just in a way no one else could. I remember his memorial event at Oddfellows that was just...
Mm-hmm.
Every person that spoke had a story about how he changed their lives and made so many... lives better, and because he left behind so much work, it's amazing that then there's this group that is continuing that, and so that's what's the idea behind having this event at the Shogun Valley Art Fair, and all those things will be for sale for people to support the press.
Right, and all the money goes to the press, 100%, and the printing, as you would expect, is utterly beautiful. I mean, these are not just broadsides or just books. They're works of art.
Mm-hmm.
And we writers who were fortunate enough to get our words between the boards or on the broadsides that Scott made, we're just gobsmacked because of the great beauty of the physical book. And for all book freaks, there's nothing better than a Scott King letterpress book or broadside, because they're just, he had a stunning eye.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he fell in love with the poetry of McGrath, Tom McGrath, and changed his life from being a brilliant scientist and engineer. He got a full ride to the University of Minnesota in chemical engineering, the number one program in the world. He started in that and then did a 180 when he fell in love with poetry and fell in love with Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
and recognized that poets need presses. And that, in fact, there was a wonderful small press named Swallow Press, which really kept Tom McGrath's poetry alive. And he said, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a press that will keep the voices of this part of the world alive. And he did it. And it's quite astonishing, in fact, how much of it he did in the time he had. It's tragic beyond belief that he only got 56 years out of this world, but he sure did a lot in that time.
Absolutely. And I keep one of his little photographs of a dragonfly right above my desk, because I want to be reminded of him all the time.
Oh, bless
you. He was extraordinary. And this work that you're doing to keep the press going, I was unaware that this was going on. And it's such it's just glorious. And for folks in Northfield that knew Scott or know his family, this is really great news to know that there's more happening. And Dave, tell us how you made the connection and wanted to make sure that this was a part of the Sogan Valley Art Fair for this year.
Well, Richard Stevens really made the suggestion. He's a guy that we both know pretty well, and he's been at the fair quite a while. But some years ago, we actually gave a show for Scott in this same building that the radio station's in right now. We rented a space in the basement and had a gallery down there, and we gave some really nice shows, and one of which was Scott. And I think Jim, you read from Han Shan, A Cure for Warts or something?
Han Shan is The Cure for Warts. I'll tell you, I hope some of those may be bound up. I thought those were sold out, too. They weren't, but we found unbound copies. And let me tell you, you mentioned Richard Stevens. Both he and Hans Koch, who will both be there with their own work at the Sogan Valley Art Fair, have been volunteering and helping me at my dining room table as I plied them with wine and cheese and bread, bind up some of these loose sheets into books. So it's quite stunning. We will have copies of both those books. And in fact, you know, I mentioned a little book, Affection for Spiders, 8 little spider poems that Scott made just beautiful. And then as he finished, he said, by the way, I like your Han Shan poems. I said, what? I had no idea, zero, that he had any idea. I loved Han Shan, cold mountain poet from China. Well, he did this collection of mine called Han Shan is the Cure for Warts. And I'll tell you a true story. He made it so beautiful, I took it to China and left it as a gift in the cave of Han Shan, Cold Mountain in the Tiantai Mountains. And if had that not happened, my trip to China would not have happened.
Wow. That's
amazing. That's just a true story. Yeah.
Folks, I want to thank everybody who is a part of Art Zany Radio today. Dave Mahachik, Adam Reinwald, Hans Koch, Jen Davies, and James Linfesti. We had to close that one out a little bit early. We're running over. But I want you to make sure you add some Art Zany to your life, of course. And always remember, in the meantime, until next time, enjoy your imagination.
You've been listening to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination, with your host, Paula Granquist. Art Zany is brought to you each week by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts in Faribault. The Paradise Center for the Arts is a vibrant cultural and artistic gathering spot in historic downtown Faribault. The Paradise is committed to offering high-quality visual and performing art opportunities for Faribault and our region.
regular events spotlight some of the best artists and musicians in our area and throughout Minnesota and the Upper Midwest. Our beautifully restored facility includes art galleries, classrooms, clay and textile labs, a gift shop and rehearsal spaces, in addition to a 300-seat auditorium. Visit ParadiseCenterForTheArts.org for a full schedule of events or call our box office at 507-332-7372.
The Keller Insurance Agency in Nerstrand knows that finding the right insurance coverage for your